The other wizards drew together and looked around for any nearby sign of mobile rectangularity. "No hat," said Ponder, and that was that. The Dean peered at the rock wall. "Quite good drawings for native art," he said. "Interesting lines." The bursar nodded. As far as he could see, the drawings were simply alive. They might be coloured earth on rock, but they were as alive as the kangaroo that had just hopped away. The old man was drawing a snake now, one wiggly line. "I remember seeing some of those palaces the Tezumen built in the jungle," said the Dean, watching him. "Not an ounce of mortar in the whole place, and the stones fit together so well you couldn't stick a knife between them. Ah, they were about the only things the Tezumen didn't stick a knife between," he added. "Odd people, really. Very big on wholesale human sacrifice and cocoa. Not an obvious combination, to my mind. Kill 50,000 people and then relax with a nice cup of hot chocolate. Excuse me, I used to be quite good at this." To the horror, even of Ridcully, the Dean took the piece of frayed twig out of the painter's hand and dabbed it gently on the rock. "See? Dot for the eye," said the Dean, handing it back. The painter gave him a sort of smile. That is, he showed his teeth. Like many other beings on astral planes of all kinds, he was puzzled by the wizards. They were people with the family-sized self-confidence that seems to be able to get away with anything. They generated an unconscious field which said that of course they should be there, but no one was to worry or fuss around tidying up the place on their account and just get on with whatever they were doing. The more impressionable victims were left with the feeling that they had clipboards and were awarding marks. Behind the Dean, a snake wriggled away. "Anyone feel anything odd?" said the lecturer in recent runes. "My fingers tingled. Did any of you do any magic just then?" The Dean picked up a burnt twig. The painter's mouth dropped open as the wizard drew a scratching line on the stone.
"I think you might be offending him," said Ponder.
"Nonsense. A good artist is always prepared to learn," said the Dean. "Interesting thing, these fellows never seem to get the idea of perspective."
The bursar thought, or received the thought, "That's because perspective is a lie. If I know a pond is round, then why should I draw it oval? I will draw it round because round is true. Why should my brush lie to you just because my eye lies to me?" It sounded like quite an angry thought.
"What's that you're drawing, Dean?" said the senior wrangler.
"What does it look like? A bird, of course."
The voice in the bursar's head thought, "But a bird must fly. Where are the wings?"
"This one's standing on the ground. You don't see the wings," said the Dean, and then looked puzzled at having answered a question no one had asked. "Blast! You know, it's harder than it looks drawing on a rock."
"I always see the wings," thought the voice in the bursar's head. The bursar fumbled for his dried frog pill bottle. The voices were never usually this precise.
"Very flat bird," said Ridcully. "Come on, Dean, our friend here isn't very happy. Let's go and work out a really good boat spell." "Looks more like a weasel to me," said the senior wrangler. "You got the tail wrong. The stick slipped."
"A duck is fatter than that," said the chair of indefinite studies. "You shouldn't try to show off, Dean. When was the last time you saw a duck that didn't have peas round it?"
"Last week, actually." "Yes, we had crispy duck with plum sauce, I now recall. Here, let me have a go." "Now you've given it three legs. I did ask for the stick. You snatched it away."
"Now look," said Ridcully. "I'm a man who knows his ducks, and what you've got there is laughable. Give me that. Thank you. You do a beak like this. That's on the wrong end, and it's too big. You think that's a beak?
Look, all three of you are barking up the wrong tree. Give me that stick." "Ah, but you see, ducks don't bark. Ha! There's no need to snatch like that."
Unseen University was built of stone. So built out of stone that in fact there were many places where it was hard to tell where wild rock ended and domesticated stone began. It was hard to imagine what else you could build a university out of. If Rincewind had set out to list possible materials, he wouldn't have included corrugated iron sheets. In response to some sort of wizardly ancestral memory, though, the sheets around the gates had been quite expertly bent and hammered into the shape of a stone arch. Over it, burned into the thin metal, were the words Nullus Anxietas.
I shouldn't be surprised, should I? He said. No worries.
The gates, which were also made of corrugated iron, nailed to bits of wood by a man using second-hand nails, were firmly shut. A crowd of people were hammering on them.
Looks like a lot of other people had the same idea,